This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Follow the Standard Orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take us home.
Hi, sir.
It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends, and thanks for joining us here on Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show to the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru, and this is my co-host Mike from Commentary Trek Stars.
Hello.
You'd think after 110 episodes, I wouldn't have to read that every time.
But you do.
But I do.
Alive.
Because I'll mess it up if I don't.
Excellent, excellent. So, this is the
This
end.
Is it.
Yeah. I always think of that, like any time like one of my shows ends, I always think of that thing that Kevin Smith does with the Winnie the Pooh theme song. Have you ever heard that?
No.
He would talk about how like there was like a Winnie the Pooh like cartoon on the Disney Channel or something that his kid would watch when she was little. And each episode ends with this song where it's like, now it's time to close the book. And it's like all about like the end of childhood and growing up and the loss of innocence and everything.
Jeez.
And he's like, what is this? You know, this is, and it's every week, you know? It's hilarious. And the song is hilarious too. You can find it on YouTube or whatever, but I always think of that. It's funny. Anyway, this is the end.
It is. It's the end of Standard Orbit 1.0. This will be we'll post a picture, but Mike and I are wearing our Maroon Monsters uniforms.
Yeah.
And our caps.
Yeah.
Ready for sports, this last sporting event.
Yeah. See, you know, everyone else, you know, can have their, all the other Bridgemates teams can have their jerseys and everything, but we've got the caps to go along with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're awesome.
It really finishes the look, you know.
Well, we figured for our last episode, we would do kind of a retrospective, you know, like a little history of the show, some behind-the-scenes stuff, our favorite moments from the show, maybe something we've learned. You know, just kind of like a Winnie the Pooh episode. You know, we're gonna have a moral of the story and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've not seen that particular brand of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, me either, actually. But the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh, like those three original shorts.
Yeah.
Those things are awesome.
They are. I love those.
Yeah. The Tigger movie and the Piglet movie.
Yeah.
Those are not good at all.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
I will continue to not see them.
Okay. Cool. So how did this all begin? It started before me. It started with you.
Yeah.
Now, So you were associated with Trek FM. You were the TOS editor on the network?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I haven't seen
you edit a thing aside from this show.
There were, when we had episode guides, like two websites ago, I wrote a couple of those. I was supposed to write or find people and, you know, find people to write things about TOS and edit it.
Okay.
And mostly it meant that I was on every TOS episode of The Ready Room.
Yeah.
And Chris had the idea of spinning off into having series individual shows.
Makes sense.
And I kept putting it off. He's just like, Drew, you need to start a TOS show. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how. I want more experience podcasting before I get to that point. And it was about a year later before I finally was like, okay, all right, let's do this.
Well, yeah, because you came to me and you were like, hey, I'm doing a TOS show. Would you like to co-host?
Yes.
And at this point, like I was doing like Commentary Track Stars. I was like maybe half a year into Commentary Track Stars, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And like my real reaction was like, I don't know how to do an original series show. Like, I'm like, I really feel like I'm not qualified to do that. But at the same time, like, you were instrumental in getting commentary track stars on Trek FM.
Yes. Right?
And because of that, I was like, I'll do anything that Drew wants me to do.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, I'll do it for Drew. Like, if anyone else had asked me, aside from, like, maybe Chris, I'd be like, no, that's not happening. But I was like, I'll do it for Drew. So then you were like, okay, we'll do it. And I'm like, great. And he's like, yeah, I just need to, you know, set some stuff up. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then, like, nothing happened for, like, 6 months. And then finally,
I was
like,
so scared.
Like, Chris came to me and he's like, so what's going on with Standard Orbit? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's like, well, I think Drew needs to be nudged a little bit because, like, we were planning this before. At that point, I think the only other show that existed in terms of, series shows was To the Journey, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, we've been planning this before To the Journey. And To the Journey started up before Commentary Track Stars, right?
Yes.
And I'm like, he's like, I think Drew needs a little push. So I'm like, okay, you know, so like I, you know, texted you or something. And I'm like, Chris wants to know when we're starting this show. And then I think you were finally like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah. I don't know why I was so scared. Just the time commitment. I mean, and it has been a time commitment. And basically, I wanted it to be entertaining and well put together, things that I didn't feel like I could have done without that kind of, like, hyping myself up for it. And that's why I picked you for the co-host, because you'd done like 450 podcasts, I think, by that point.
Maybe.
And
not
so
that
at least I would know that you can talk when I'm just sitting there going, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's a big thing. And, you know, I mean, like, we were talking, you know, the last couple of weeks, you know, getting listener feedback, talking about, like, oh, you guys are laid back and, you know, nice and slow and, you know, kind of like a lullaby, you know, sort of thing, you know, which I can see totally, because, like, I listened to things like Earl Grey or To the Journey. And they're just, like, so amped up, you know?
Yes.
Like, Earl Grey in particular. Like, you hear those guys bouncing back and forth off of each other, and it's like, I could not keep up with them. I cannot, you know, never in a million years.
Listen to our crossover episodes.
Right.
Usually Mike and I are like,
what's going on? Our heads are just spinning like, what? I don't understand what's going on, you know? And, like, you know, when I listen to that, I'm like, are we, like, you know, bad? And, you know, I mean, maybe we are, but I don't think in that respect. Like, I think, you know, we just have a different style, a different pace, you know. And,
yeah.
And that letter said, you know, it's like, hey, it's cool, I like it, it's chill, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed our pace.
You dim the lights, you got the little piano music in the background. You know,
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. And I do have to say, like you were saying about it being put together and everything, and, you know, not to wax your car or anything like that. I mean, I legitimately mean this. Like, I do think that you are one of the best editors on the network.
Oh, wow.
And I do think that the opening and the closing that you put together for Standard Orbit, you know, just the opening, whatever, leading into this and the closing with the Desilu thing and everything like that, those are by far the best opening and closings of any show on the network.
Thanks.
And I say that as someone who had absolutely nothing to do with it.
It kind of just fell together. I was like, certainly I can find episodes where they say Standard Orbit. So I found like here's a script site. And so I, like, Google searched that script site for the word Standard Orbit. And, like, so I found a couple episodes where they say it, and I found one where he says it right at the beginning, and then managed to like instantly find an episode that had just the ship flying by and like no sound, no other music, but the intro music and the ship flying by, which I think is Enemy Within. I've got it listed so that I could find it again, because then I rebuilt it from scratch in stereo when Chris is like, oh, you know, we're producing everything in stereo. And I'm like, oops, everything I do is in mono.
Well, everything they did was in mono, too.
That's true. But I pulled the stereo from Netflix. Remastered.
Do you listen to it in stereo when you watch it?
Yeah.
The show? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm watching, 7.1, I'm watching the new 5.1 effects, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm watching the original effects, I put it in mono.
I do original effects mono all the way.
I know. I need to do that, but I'm lazy. We've discussed this.
Yeah, you're like my wife. No, but I am guilty because I find myself kind of doing that with the X-Files. I've been doing a X-Files mythology rewatch in preparation for the new miniseries. And I'm like, okay, I pasted hours. Like, I can watch an episode of the mythology a day leading up to this. So I'm only like, you know, maybe like 10 episodes behind right now. And it's only been going for like 3 days. But I've been like doing it a lot, like sort of like on the go, you know. So I'm like, okay, Netflix on my iPhone, which is in the wrong freaking aspect ratio. But then I'm like, well, when I get home, I can put in the DVD. But usually I'm like, I'm halfway through this episode. I don't remember exactly where I left off. Am I really going to try to sync up my DVD with the thing on my phone? Nah, I'm just going to watch the incorrect aspect ratio and just complain about it the whole time.
Yeah. I don't have the DVDs, so when I eventually start watching X-Files.
For the first time?
I've seen the first season on DVD.
Oh, cool.
But that's it.
Well, get the DVDs now while you can. I mean, for one thing, they're cheap, you know? Like, that first season one, that was the first time that a DVD had, like, released an entire season set on DVD. A show had released an entire season set on DVD.
Wow.
Like, that actually impacted the original series DVD release. Because the standard thing...
Because the two-disc thing, the two-episode per-disc thing.
Yeah, like that was like, it was one episode on videotape, it was two on Laserdisc, you know, which think about that, like $35 a disc for two episodes, you know, trying to build your 80-episode run, that's 40 times, that's like $1,300 or something like that just for the original series.
And it's an entire shelf or two.
Yeah. That's the other thing, right? And like X-Files, they were like, we're going to release the entire season one in one box set. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I pre-ordered it and everything. And they're like, it's only $100. And I'm like, if you do the math, that's insanely cheap, you know? And then it like, yeah, they were going through because they did the entire original series on the two disc thing. Which I had. I had all of those individual things. I bought them at the Music Recyclery. And then they, like, if you look inside, like, those discs, they have, like, flyers saying, like, Star Trek The Next Generation. Get, you know, Encounter at Farpoint on DVD coming soon. And then X-Files dropped and was a huge success. And they were like, okay. Let's do box sets. But I mean,
it's got to be cheaper to ship.
Yeah, but this is Star Trek, not X Files. So we're not going to charge $100. We're going to charge $125. You know. But now you go into like Best Buy, and you can get that same X Files set for like $7.
Right. In an even thinner case.
A much thinner case. You know, they had some packaging issues early on with those X Files things. But you got to. My point here. Is that you've got to buy them all now because soon they'll be gone and replaced by the HD abominations.
So yeah. Just
do that.
Got to keep that original theatrical edition.
Yep. Anyway, so what were we talking about? How do we get on the X-Files?
I honestly don't remember.
Editing stereo, editing going things. Back, yeah. Editing, doing the original thing. Yeah. Okay. So. Yes, it's been a long road getting from there to here. So what were some of your favorite moments doing this thing?
I think one of my favorite moments was our trip to the Parsec Awards.
Yeah.
Like, you coming down and picking me up, and then us driving through torrential downpours where we had to, like, stop.
That was terrifying.
Like, 15 minutes to wait for this downpour to stop so we could tell where we were going.
That was the most scared I've ever been driving, I have to say. Like blinding rain, you know, on
I'd never seen anything like it.
And then we're like, let's get off the highway. And I'm like, just find me a parking lot. And you're like, And then, like, literally, like in Magnolia, you know, where it's like pouring rain and then, like, they turn off the machines and then all of a sudden it just stops raining. Like, that's what happened.
That's what happened.
It literally just stopped. And it's like, oh, I guess we can keep on going now then.
We were so scared to get back on the highway. We were like,
Yeah, in freaking Louisville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's terrifying.
But yeah, I think that trip, hanging out with you all weekend, was a lot of fun. And I wouldn't have done that without the show and without listener support, you know, to get us nominated. And I mean, we didn't win, but, you know, it was an honor to be nominated. And that was really cool.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say that was probably the highlight for me as well. You know, it was fun driving down there, going to Dragon Con. Got to see James Gunn talking about Guardians of the Galaxy and
that
everything
was a lot
like
of fun.
That. And yeah, and then, you know, after the ceremony, after losing, went to Big Kahuna Burger and got a
oh,
Big
yeah.
Kahuna Burger. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
We saw Michael Hogan walk by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just walking by. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely the highlight for me, too. Yeah.
One of my other highlights, I think, is introducing Andy to podcasting.
Yeah.
Which I think we've done the world a service, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Women at Warp, right? There wouldn't be any Women at Warp because isn't she the one who started that up?
I think. I think so. Or at least she had the gumption to do it.
Yeah. When she met us, she was but the learner. Now she is the master.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
She's on every show all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just recorded a thing with her the last week. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's definitely cool. Yeah. I mean, I would agree with you about the Parsec Awards for sure. That was a lot of fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I mean, for me, I guess another highlight would be just all of the cool people that we've been able to talk to and everything.
Oh, like yeah.
Through this show, which has been kind of amazing. Just like, you know, I was looking at the list of our guests, and in addition to, you know, a lot of people from Trek FM, you know, both inside and outside of Trek FM in terms of the world of podcasting, it's also, you know, kind of like a who's who of Trek historians, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like, how does that even work? How do we, you know? I mean, we pretty much got, like, everyone who's...
I mean, and that was all you. You were, I mean, I was perfectly content to just sit here and talk to each other for 100 and some odd episodes, but you were just like, no, I think we can get so-and-so. And I'm like, you go right ahead. If you can swing that, let's do that.
Well,
and you were just like, hey, Mark Cushman, you want to be on our show? Yeah, sure. I've never done a podcast before. And hey, so-and-so. And, oh, yeah, I've never done a podcast before. And they're all just really excited to come on.
Well, it was one of those things where it was like, I mean, it goes back to, you know, me being terrified of doing an original series show. Because I'm like, I'm not qualified, you know? The listeners are going to have much more knowledge than I am about this thing. So I'm like... You know, there was someone on the Babel conference, I think Greg, I want to say, who was like, I see your show, like each of the shows on Trek FM has a different flavor. I see yours as being historical. And I'm like, when he said that, I was like, yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but that's really what it is. Like, my whole thing was like, my opinion on the original series means nothing, like literally nothing, right? I don't have anything of any value to offer. And that's like what most of my shows are, like me saying like, this movie sucks, or you need to see this movie, you know? And, you know, with the original series, and that's why, like, I thought about that, like, with all, you know, like, when I first said, like, I want to do a Star Trek podcast, I'm like, what am I going to bring to the table? Like, nothing. Because I don't have, I mean, I've seen every single episode, you know, numerous times, and I grew up with it, and you know, and everything. But it's like, there's always going to be people out there who know way more about it than me. I'm not the type of person who would be like, I need to listen to every Star Trek podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. And the people who are going to listen to these shows are. And I'm like, well, what am I going to tell them? You know, nothing.
Right.
So that's why, like, when, you know, I came up with the idea for Commentary Track Stars, I was like, this is great because I'm not going to be talking about Star Trek, you know? It's not intimidating. I'm going to be telling people stuff they, you know, probably don't know. But like with this show, I'm like, well, now I'm, you know, it's not even like I'm dipping my toe into like Next Generation or something like that, which, you know, I grew up with. Mm-hmm. It's like the original series. I'm like, oh, and they're going to have the fans, which are like the hardest of the hardcore because they've been around forever, you know, and they've all grown up with it. And most of them are probably, you know, older than me. And it's like, ah, so I'm like, okay, let's see. Well, let's get other people to talk about this so that I don't have to, you know? I mean, and so, yeah. And part of it also was just like, there was a lot of stuff that I didn't know. So if we bring on people who do know all that stuff, like, that's really interesting. Like, that's the show that I would want to hear, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we were able to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm really thankful to the people who are willing to come on, you know?
And we'll thank them later in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll thank them later in the show. You have any least favorite moments? Any, like, episodes where you're just like, what the hell are we doing? This is terrible. This is just terrible.
I don't remember a lot of the first few episodes. But that, there were a couple where I had you edit them. So I only heard them that one time when we were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So those episodes, I don't know any of the content of G-Rod or Bondi Blue Landrew.
That's probably for the best. No, I don't remember those either.
but I don't have anything that I was ever like really disappointed in. In fact, every week that we'd get together would be like, I don't know about this. But mm-hmm. then I was always really proud of the result.
Yeah.
But like going into it, I always felt really bad, like I didn't prepare enough for this. But we always ended up with a good show, and I'm very proud of the work we've done.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I was going through the list of all the episodes yesterday, and, you know, there were some of them where I was like, we did an episode on, how did we get a half an hour on that, you know?
Yeah, it's impressive, some of these things.
There's, like, somewhere it's like, how did we think that was going to be a good idea? Like transporter ethics.
I thought that was a good idea. That was me, yeah.
I mean, okay, you know, I mean, like, I can see that being, like, an interesting discussion, like, an interesting, like, five-minute discussion, you know? Like, doing, like, a full episode on it.
We got it.
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, I do remember my least favorite moment. That would be the moment where I used to keep all of our files on the desktop of my laptop, and then I deleted them all. And so we lost Proto Peggy Olson and had to re-record it.
Oh, and didn't we... Was that... That's the one that we lost?
Mm-hmm, I think so. I think we lost another one, too. Well, we lost that one. That was a different point.
I think maybe we were, like, halfway through recording an episode on...
It was the one about the Enterprise.
On the Enterprise, yeah. And then we were like, so should we just pick it up from where we left off? And then we're like, no, we actually kind of sucked there. Let's just start from scratch.
Yeah. So there were a couple episodes we had to redo, but I feel like the end results were better than the than the original drafts. So that's fine.
Yeah, losing podcasts sucks. I don't think I've ever lost an episode of Commentary Trek Stars, but with commentary track stars, there were a couple. And it's just like, are you kidding me?
Whole commentaries?
Yeah. Well,
that would be the worst.
The big one was the Descent.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, our big concept for that was, like, you know, we're doing all these movies that we haven't, or that we've seen and love and whatever. Let's do a movie that neither of us have seen that everyone talks about.
You lost a first-time watch?
No. It wasn't a first-time watch because we were like, that's not going to work. Those don't work. Those
okay.
are terrible.
Okay.
You know?
Good.
So we're like, let's just, like, a movie that everyone says we should see. We'll watch it. We'll both come in not knowing what the other person thought of it. And we'll, you know. And so we're like, The Descent. Everyone says The Descent's amazing. Let's watch The Descent.
The horror movie where they go into the... Okay.
Yeah. And so we go and we watch it. We come, we record the commentary. We lose the entire thing. And then we're like, okay, well, do we want to re-record that then? You know, do we really want people to know, like, what we thought of The Descent? And we're like, nah, it wasn't very good. Yeah, who cares? So no one will ever know what we thought of The Descent. But that's terrible.
I bet Max hated it.
What?
I bet Max hated it.
I think he thought it was dumb, but he didn't hate it passionately or anything like that. Yeah.
I miss Max.
Yeah. But, you know, we're lucky that we didn't lose any more commentaries. Just by the numbers, you know.
And that, think. Well, we almost lost that City on the Edge of Forever commentary because my computer kept messing up.
Oh.
But yeah. I managed to recover it almost seamlessly. I was impressed with how well that worked.
So are there any episodes of the original series which you maybe didn't like prior to starting this show, which after our discussions with various people or ourselves, you were like, you know what? That episode actually is really good. And now you're a fan of it, or a big fan of it.
When we tend to go into episode discussions, I usually come in negatively and end up with a more positive experience. Usually on the Ready Room, I'll be like, that episode is okay. But then the more I talk about it, the more I'm like, that episode is really awesome. For us, I've not really had like a big swing. I think that maybe the biggest swing was from, you know, complete hatred to mediocrity, which was Plato's Stepchildren, when Andy came on and made us watch that with her.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I came to appreciate that episode a little bit more after watching it. For me, it was actually really recently. It was Return of the Archons, where I've always liked that episode, you know, but it's always been sort of like a throwaway for me. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's cool. But then, like, watching it again, I'm like, damn, they were really dealing with a lot of stuff in this thing. There's a lot going on here. And, you know, it's pretty freaking solid. So that's probably the episode which I've come to appreciate the most over what I had before during this thing. Are there anywhere you came in being like, this is the greatest episode? And then after talking about it, you're like, oh, no, you're right. That's crap.
I don't think so. I think that when I brought up an episode for us to do a commentary on or to talk about, I managed to keep it pretty positive. But you usually keep things positive. You're not just like, this is dumb and stupid, and you're stupid for liking it.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that any of my opinions were lessened. You know, like all the behind-the-scenes information we got from Cushman, you know, made us really appreciate the episodes that we have more. There's a couple things. I guess there are a few episodes where we like heard from Cushman, like the original ideas, which sounds so much better than the finished episodes. But usually those were season 3 episodes that we hate anyway. So now we hate them more because now we've got this behind the scenes knowledge that it could have been a good episode.
Yeah.
But I can't recall which episodes offhand.
For me, I guess the big one was Wolf in the Fold.
Oh.
Because, like, growing up with that episode and everything, you know, I wasn't, like, aware of sort of, like, the social implications, you know, in terms of the sexism and all that stuff. to me, it was just like, holy shit, it's, you know,
Piglet.
Freaking Jack the Ripper in space. And he takes over Piglet. And this is the most amazing thing ever. Look at it, it's Jack the Ripper and he's Piglet. This is so cool, you know? And I still think that that's true, you know? But, you know, I can see now that it's like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, kind of like misogyny going on in here. And that's, you know, not cool. So you got to kind of take it down a peg in terms of your esteem for it. So, you know, that's probably the one, the biggest sway for me where I'm like, yeah, there is a lot of crap in there, you know.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, yeah. So what would you say you've learned through this journey on this podcast here thing?
Well, I mean, like you said, somebody pointed out like we're a historical podcast. I learned a lot about the history and the behind the scenes of Star Trek, stuff that I thought that I knew, you know, because I read Shatner's movie Memories. I know everything there is to know about, you know, behind the scenes of Star Trek. But, you know, through Cushman and Tenuto and Nemechek and everybody, there was just so much information out there that helps you appreciate what you have even more, either because, you know, look how bad it could have been, look at, you know, these drafts, and just it's amazing how good TOS and the movies are, and it's really amazing seeing behind the scenes what it took to get there. So I think that I've learned the most about behind the scenes stuff, and it really helps me appreciate the show even more than I already did.
I think that I've learned, well, a lot, you know, about that stuff, you know, of course. And, you know, that is probably, you know, what I've learned the most is like what's gone into the making of this show, the original series. And, I think that one of the things which has kind of struck me is how high concept a lot of these ideas are, because you read about them and you sort of read what the idea is on paper, and you through that kind of come up with an image in your head of what it is that they're doing, as opposed to just seeing, you know, like the cheesy effects or the cheap production design. And you realize that like the minds behind the show were, you know, way, way, way forward in their thinking. It's just that they only had so much money in order to make it. And I think that's really interesting to me. The other thing that I'd say I've learned is a lot about the fans and fandom. And it's just interesting how I come at it from a certain perspective, you come at it from a certain perspective, which is similar. You know, and a lot of that, I think, has to do with our age. And there are a lot of people, especially, you know, people who are older than us, who come at it from a very different perspective because of when they first experienced it and what else was out there for them to experience at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is true. I mean, this is nothing like revolutionary. I mean, it's always, I mean, you can totally tell this, like, if you ask someone what their favorite movie is. If they're a movie fan and let's say they started watching movies and fell in love with movies when they were in high school, their favorite movie 9 times out of 10 is going to be something that they saw in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that the same is true for Star Trek, you know, and there's a lot of people who love all of TOS, you know, even season 3 and everything like that. And, you know, we're coming at it from a perspective of like, you know, I'm sorry, but the Turnabout Intruder is not going to stack up. It's not going to cut it when you've got the best of both worlds. You know what I mean? But for some people, it's like Turnabout Intruder is, you know, the shit. And it's like, well, that's, you know, good for them. It's just interesting, you know, seeing different perspectives in terms of fandom. But yeah. And what clicks with people and what doesn't. And, you know, hearing why. And then when you hear that, you know, you can kind of appreciate that stuff more. So that's been really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Now, I've also learned that I can do a podcast about a single Star Trek series, but only for 110 episodes.
Yes. We do have a limit.
Like, I honestly, like, if you were to say, like, well, what are we going to record next week? What's episode 111 going to be? I'd be like,
I got nothing.
I'm completely out of ideas. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And I like that we're ending, but not just for me, but for the listeners, you know, to have this new crew around to talk about different things. I'm sure that they'll, you know, stick with the history kind of things, but I'm sure that they have opinions we haven't even dreamed of yet. And instead of having them on every week as a guest, you know, to hear their opinions, we might as well let them take over the show.
Mm-hmm. And they're coming at it from a different perspective that we are, so they're going to have different opinions than we are, and that's going to be pretty awesome. You know? I mean, they really can have, like, all of the same discussions that we have had. Like, if they wanted to, they could start off with episode one and do every single topic that we did for the next 110 episodes, and it would be a different discussion each time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Now I want them to do that.
Yeah, that would be really cool. We should talk to them about that. I want to hear their opinions on transporter ethics. I mean, and their opinion on aspect ratios for two whole episodes.
Yeah, yeah. That was a highlight for me.
No, I actually had that listed as one of my highlights, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. You know, just been, and I mean, you know, maybe that was boring. Maybe that was out of place, you know. But I mean, but that's another thing. It's like, you know, it seems like the two of us are like, you know, while we're definitely original series fans, it was more sort of a case of like, who do we get to do the original series? Everyone who's involved in this network is a TNG baby, essentially. Mm-hmm. Well, Drew and Mike, they could do it, right? I mean, sure, they could do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We could get them to do the original series show. That makes sense. You
don't need anything.
And it's like, well, I'm, you know, we do. I think we did a good job. But like, if we were to do a show about like something that we were like really knowledgeable about, that'd be pretty badass.
Yeah, it would.
We should do that sometime.
Maybe something about the Star Wars canon.
Yeah, yeah. Screw you, it's canon. That'd be good.
We'll see about that.
If you want to edit it,
nope.
I would do it. Do you say nope?
Nope.
Oh, well. What can you do? All right. And anything else? Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts on Standard Orbit. I just want to thank everybody for sticking around. I never felt like... I still feel like I'm new at this. And I still feel like, you know, I'm nervous that, you know, somebody's not going to like it or something. But your attitude about bring the criticism has really helped me out. But I just want to thank the listeners. I do. Just the interaction that we've had with the listeners, it's been amazing. And I just want to thank all of them individually, but I can't. So just thanks for listening. I know that's your cliche.
That's
and
my line.
We end the yeah. show with it, but it's true. I do thank everybody for listening, and it means a lot to me that you have and that you will miss us. I know that you'll be better off, and you'll eventually realize that you're better off, but I do thank you for the time that you did give us for 110 episodes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, out of all the podcasts I've done, this one has by far been the most listened to. So, you know, I really appreciate that. And I am kind of in awe that anyone would listen to us, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like, we're literally, like, sitting here. We're wearing matching t-shirts and caps, you know? We're a bunch of, like, freaking nerds. We're
giant nerds. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, so thank you for listening. Very, very much. It's we really do appreciate it. I know that's what I always say, but I mean it. You know, it's crazy. And you know, just little interactions with people are great. You know, it's I love it. You know, both when they're praising us and when they're criticizing us, because it's good to have that discussion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of fun, and also, hey, you know, I like it when people are honest. You know, I mean, criticism is good. Stop apologizing for not liking something. Okay, it's all good to not like something. It's healthy, including the show. So thanks for your honest criticism. We appreciate it.
Mike, I understand that you have a list of other people that we want to thank.
Oh, yeah. I just, you know, there were so many. I mean, talking about, you know, the historical aspect and the fact that both of us were terrified about, you know, this undertaking, since, you know, we felt underqualified. If this show is any good, it's because of the people who helped us make it.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to acknowledge all of them, or we wanted to acknowledge all of them. I'm sure that we're forgetting someone, which is...
I've been keeping pretty good records. I mean,
Okay. So I hopefully we're not. But first and foremost, our wives.
Yes.
For letting us do this.
Infinite patience.
Yeah. I mean, my wife is currently, especially since we record on Sunday mornings and it's football season. Oh, my God. You know? So yeah, Jessica and Melissa, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Neither of them are listening,
no.
I'm sure, but that's okay. Who cares? Our associate producers, Renee Roberts and Richard Rutledge Jr., for the financial support, but then also for just being like people who are like, you know, I like your show so much that I'm willing to fund it, you know?
I'm willing to put my name on it, you know? That's really cool.
There are John Hammonds.
Spare no expense.
And anytime either of you want to come over to our place and, you know, pop open our champagne, you're more than welcome. Okay, and then there's our guests, okay? I've got a list of all of them. And this list, I was, like, looking at it, and I'm like, how did we do this?
I know.
Dave Rossi. I mean, right off the bat.
Yeah.
What?
We just came out of the gate and we were just like, Dave Rossi, here you go. Bam.
Yeah. And it's like, Dave Rossi. Like, I remember sitting in the back of an auditorium watching him up on stage at a convention and then we're talking to him. All right. Mark Cushman, Philip Gilfis, Darren Moser, and Daniel Prue from Earl Grey, mm-hmm. of course. Max Hagel, my co-host on Commentary Track Stars. John Tenuto, who taught us more about Khan than we thought was
didn't know there was that possible. Much knowledge out there.
Colin Higgins from Melodic Treks and Trek News and Views. Andy, of course. Larry Nemechek.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I was fascinated to find out had actually seen the original series because, you know, I just assumed he was all about Next Generation only, but no, of course. Matt Hansen. From Upper Pylon 2, who I think, as far as like people I know personally, knows more about Star Trek than anyone I've ever met. Preston Neil Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Who I that was like, I couldn't believe that one either. When I saw that book was coming out about the making of the motion picture, I was like, I want to talk to that guy. And then it like went away and then it came back. And then to be able to talk to him about this thing, that was so cool. Charlene Schmidt from To the Journey. Matthew Rushing from The Orb. Sarah Gatoss and Mike Johnson from IDW doing the Star Trek ongoing comics.
Yeah.
That was awesome too. I couldn't believe that. You know, it's like,
what a get.
We've been sitting there talking, and then that was like one of those things that I was talking about last week where I'm like, should we go back and listen to the episodes that we did talking about their stuff to see how much we...
I'm sure they didn't
we
listen
say that's
to
inappropriate. Ben Robinson, who was on just a few weeks back talking about Phase 2.
Yeah.
And, of course, Norman Lau and Jeffrey Harlan, who are going to be picking up the mantle and moving this thing forward into the 24th century.
No.
No. Okay. Late 23rd century.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So thank you to all of them. Now, there's a few other people behind the scenes who feel like we need to mention. Suzanne, who posts all of the stuff on Facebook and stuff like that and sort of lets the world know that we have new episodes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Zach Moore, who edits the previously on Trek FM spots, which as someone who had done that, you know, prior to him, I know that that is a pain in the ass. So thank you, Zach. We really do appreciate that. Our production manager, Richard Marquez, who makes sure that we didn't mess anything up when we're publishing. Yeah. Aaron Harvey, who does all of the artwork that you see, all of the amazing stuff, the freaking the maroon shirts monster that we're shirt? Wearing Holy right crap. Now, the maroon monster shirts, the ninja cat. You know, all that stuff, that's all Aaron. So thank you very much to him. And last but not least, of course, you know, our captain,
Admiral.
Christopher Jones.
Admiral.
I guess so, yeah. Christopher Jones, who lets us play in his sandbox.
Yes.
And we're very appreciative of him. So thank you, everyone.
Yes, thank you.
And if I miss someone, I really do apologize. I don't mean to.
Yeah, we'll in the next episode that we record for Standard Orbit, we'll fix that.
Yeah, we will record a special episode 111 just for you. So
110A.
110A. All right, that's cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was fun ending one era of a show, but that's the only place on the network you'll hear that. If you want to hear other things on the network, you can listen to this.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
They just happened to come at just the right time.
Right,
or just
the wrong
the
right time.
Time
for it to be dangerous.
Like, literally, like, not even, like, that day, but, like 2 minutes before this happens.
Earl Grey.
Well, it does all those cloak experiments. It deployed that communications array.
Minefield?
And the minefield for exploratory purposes.
Let's not talk about the Defiant, because you know it's just going to upset me.
To the journey!
What about Tommy?
Tommy is a drunk, and...
He's drunk in the ready room meeting. His head's down, and so Janeway says, Tom, anything?
Just not so loud! Commentary, Trek Stars.
You know what? See, the thing is now, if Star Trek Beyond goes sideways in any way, you've planted that line in my brain. Now, like, I only got half a peg, and I'm just going to trot that out if I don't like Star Trek Beyond.
The 602 Club.
I remember hearing Timothy Zahn, even back then, reading an article that he was listening to the John Williams scores in his car as he was thinking all this through and making sure the pacing felt like it did with the music. So maybe it had to do with the certain music he was listening to. Maybe he was listening to a New Hope score at that point. I don't know.
Literary Treks.
I think we had between the three of us half a dozen or eight different springboards, and they were written in such a way that they could have gone to either ship and crew. It was like, you know, the Sagittarius encounters big blob in space, or Endeavor encounters derelict spacecraft, or I mean, I'm being real surface here. I mean, the prompts we provided in the Bible were probably just a couple of sentences long, and it was just meant to say these are the kinds of stories we're thinking about.
Women at Warp.
So we went in and pitched, and I have to say that was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. I have scrubbed in on brain surgery. It did not frighten me as much as waiting outside Gene Roddenberry's office getting ready to go in and pitch to him.
Meta Treks.
You're not going to see a bunch of Klingons hanging around eating cake and you know, laughing at
well,
Klingon
unless chips. It has, unless it's a peptide cake with mint frosting.
Peptide, indeed. Indeed.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out those shows and get in on the daily Trek Talk. You'll find them on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or you can just stream from the website. You can visit Trek.fm/podcast to get all the links.
And let's give it up for Zach and his fine work as an editor in that spot there, right?
It's groovy.
Right,
cool. If you want to contact the network, there's a few places to do it. I'm sure that Chris will forward the messages to us if you address the letters to us, But I assume by the time you listen to this, things will start flipping over and things will go to Norm and Jeff. But if you go to trek.fm/contact, there's a form there. You can choose send a show and choose standard orbit. That'll come to us or Norm and Jeff by email. You can also still do that voicemail thing using your webcam's microphone by clicking the button on the left-hand side of any page on Trek FM. And, you know, again, we'll get it somehow or another. If you want to talk to us in our Facebook group, the Babel Conference will still be around there. You'll still be plugging your show, and I'll still be chilling, talking Star Trek.
Cool.
You can find, did I say that it was called the Babel Conference? It's called the Babel Conference. Yeah. You can find it.
Yeah.
And you can also find our social media page at facebook.com/TrekFM and on Twitter under username TrekFM. Mike, are you going to be doing any other shows around the network when you're done with this?
Believe it or not, I am.
What?
No, I know. I know that we say this each and every week, but, you know, this is our last shot, right?
Right.
So, hey, you know, this is like when, you know, a comic book ends, you know, and let's say that there's like a character on one comic. Or, here's a good example. The Practice, right?
Yes.
So, like, the Practice, at the end of the Practice, like, William Shatner comes on for, like, the last six episodes, and you're like, what's going on? This is the most amazing thing. And then the Practice ends. But then the next season, like, Boston Legal shows up, and there's William Shatner from, you know, his character on the Practice and everything. Like you can find me on another show right here on Trek FM.
A new show.
It's not a new show. It's actually been around for 161 episodes. And it's called Commentary Trek Stars. But hey, it's probably new to you. Looking at the numbers, doing the math, it's probably new to you. So check that out. It's actually, you know, not a bad show, if you ask me. We don't really talk about Star Trek so much. We talk about the people who made Star Trek. And we talk about the other stuff that they've done outside of Star Trek. And, you know, right now, We're wrapping that show up too, believe it or not. We're on our final season, about 20 episodes left. And we're talking about all the people who are making the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond. So right now we're doing Simon Pegg, you know, the writer, mm-hmm. and looking at all the other movies that he's written. We're going to take a look at Doug Young's other movie. We're definitely going to talk about Star Wars The Force Awakens, because everyone who worked on that also worked on Star Trek. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we do over there. But going back, if you want to look at our back catalog, we talk to, you know, a bunch of people about a bunch of stuff. We've looked at every single series that
you had an actual producer from the original series.
John D.F. Black, the guy who, you know, wrote The Naked Time and who was a producer, the only surviving producer of the original series. We have him and his wife on the show, along with Mark Cushman, talking about, you know, what went on in that crazy time period at the very, very start of the original series. You know, it's not a bad show, if I do say so myself. And hey, you get to hear me talking about stuff that I actually know about, which is not like the original
actually
series.
Citizen Kane.
Yeah, like we literally talk about Citizen Kane because it was edited by the guy who directed the motion picture. It's a decent show. I was going to say it's a really good show. It's not. It's a decent show, but I think our listeners would like it if they gave it a chance. You know, and we have a very long back catalog. There's a lot of original series stuff in there. We look at all of Richard Matheson's books. We look at all of Gene Roddenberry's TV shows. We've read every single Nicholas Meyer book that he's ever written, including
this one
about like freaking like rubber trees in like the Amazon or something.
Sherlock Holmes.
I don't know. All the Sherlock Holmes books. It's pretty deep. It's pretty, I mean, we're into it. We've talked to a lot of people, like, you know, John D.F. Black. We've talked to some other creators and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun. So go over there, check it out. And please do that. I also do another show on my website called Commentary Trackstar Babies. You can find that on commentarytrackstars.com. A lot of audio commentaries for original series episodes and movies, all the movies. a lot of episodes with Drew talking about like Inception and Children of Men.
And so, my wife you can, on those two.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can find us all over there. Check that out, commentarytrackstars.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K. So there you go. Sorry, that was long, but you know what? It's my last chance. Yeah. My last chance.
I don't have anything to plug. I'm on Twitter at 005, D-O-U-B-L-E-O-F-I-V. And like I said, I'll be sticking around the Babel Conference for the foreseeable future.
I will guarantee that Drew shows up wherever I am.
Yes.
You just have to keep an eye out.
Yeah, keep an eye on Mike, and I will be nearby. I'll probably do some Trekstar Babies. I'm planning on going back on Tisto's commentaries. We need to do Dawn of the Planet of the Apes to continue our Planets of the Apes series. I suppose now that we've put it off for so long, we should wait until we're closer to War of the Planet of the Apes.
Nah, just do it now.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Yeah, we need to do the Magics of Magus 2 on...
we will do Magics of Magus 2.
Did you see that someone, I forget which website this was, someone on Twitter put it up, but they went to the IMDb and they basically grabbed all the data in terms of the user ratings and ranked all of the various Star Trek episodes based on user reviews. It's pretty interesting. Like Sitting on the Edge of Forever was number one, of right. course. The bottom one was, I think, like And the Children Shall Lead, I think, or something.
That's
like that.
A good choice.
But for the animated series, number one was Yesteryear, and number 22, I guess, would have been The Magics of Magus 2. So
that's unfair.
Yeah, what can you do?
Well, before we go, we'd like to ask everyone to please support our sponsor, who helps us bring Standard Orbit and all of our other shows to you every week. And our sponsor for this show was and will continue to be Audible.com. Audible's a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible's the premier source for audiobooks with, I can't imagine, we've always said 150,000 titles. I can't imagine how many titles they have now in the last 110 times I've said this.
At least 150,001.
Exactly. Because new titles are coming every week, from classics to current bestsellers, even some of those famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive and Federation, Audible has something for everyone. Mike, what's the most famous Star Trek book that you can plug today?
Well, I think that everyone needs to read the adaptation of Star Trek Into Darkness, which is by Alan Dean Foster, who, by the way, like what wrote the Star Trek The Motion Picture. Mm-hmm. It's narrated by Alice Eve. It's unabridged. It's 8 hours and 55 minutes long.
That's a lot longer than the movie.
Yeah, they put a lot of stuff in here. Like, they explain why Alice Eve took off her clothes in the shuttle pod and everything like
no,
that.
No, they don't.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know. I haven't read it myself, but I'm going to... Actually, no, I'm not. But here's what they say on Audible.com. The official movie tie-in novelization of the highly anticipated sequel to 2009's blockbuster feature film Star Trek. Pioneering director J.J. Abrams has delivered an explosive action thriller that takes Star Trek into darkness. When the crew of the Enterprise is called back home, they find an unstoppable force of terror from within their own organization has detonated the fleet and everything it stands for, leaving our world in a state of crisis. With a personal score to settle, Captain Kirk leads a manhunt to a war zone world to capture a one-man weapon of mass destruction. As our heroes are propelled into an epic chess game of life and death, love will be challenged, friendships will be torn apart, and sacrifices must be made for the only family crew has Kirk left something. His crew! I don't know. That sentence didn't make any less sense than any of these other sentences.
True.
So get off my back. Star Trek Into Darkness stars Chris Pine, Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana, Carl Urban, John Cho, Bruce Greenwood, Simon Pegg, Anton Yelchin, Benedict Cumberbatch, Alice Eve, and Peter Weller. And it arrives on May 17th,
RoboCop?
2013. Yeah.
Wow.
Did I ever tell you about the time that Peter Weller almost ran into me, literally?
No.
It was so weird. I was downtown on like a Friday night.
Downtown Chicago.
And I was at the... And I was at the Virgin Megastore, which doesn't exist anymore. R.I.P. Virgin Megastore. It was awesome. And I was leaving, and there's like an entrance and an exit, and I'm walking out of the exit, and this guy pulls the door open and says, like, he's turned facing the street, and he's like, hang on, I'll be just a minute, I just need to pick something up. And then he turns around and like walks like right into me, and he's like, excuse me,
son.
And then he like walks around me, and I'm like, that sounded a lot like RoboCop. Was that RoboCop? And then like I'm like, no, it couldn't have been. And then I walk out on the street, and there's freaking Harris Yulin, okay, who played, you know, the freaking Cardassian in Duet, like, you know, yeah. And he's on the street on his cell phone. He's like, yeah, Peter just ran into the Virgin Megastore. He says he's going to be out in just a second. And I'm like, that was RoboCop. And I looked, and they're like doing a play together I don't know where, some theater in Chicago. And I'm like, whoa, that's so crazy. I told Max, and he's like, I wonder if he was buying a copy of RoboCop 3. But yeah, that was my my Peter Weller encounter.
I did not know that.
For what it's worth.
Anyway. And you can get that audiobook for free.
Oh, yeah, you can get that audiobook for free on audible.com. See, that, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
That's right. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, maybe of RoboCop 3. Along with a 30-day trial just to see how great Audible is. Give it a try today and catch up on those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read and that latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. Now, let's say that you want to dress like us.
Yeah, and who doesn't? I mean, we're pretty stylish.
It's true. If you want a Maroon Monster shirt of your own, or a Ninja Cat shirt, or, you know, one of those other shirts, Lizard
Babies,
or whatever.
Did you see the new Christmas one?
There's a new Christmas one. It's so cool looking.
Yeah, my wife's like, oh, I want that. And she doesn't even listen to Trek FM.
It's really cool. We've got a lot of cool designs. You can find them all at www.trek.fm/store. And you can click there, get to Redbubble, and order stuff. I've got a red Monsters Maroon shirt. Mike has a red Monster Maroon shirt. And Mike got me the, what is it? Is it a baseball kind of shirt?
Yeah, you know, 3/4 sleeve. Yeah, baseball style.
I've never had a 3/4 sleeve shirt. I tried it on this morning and I'm like, it doesn't go all the way down.
It's weird, right? It takes a while to get used to. But that's kind of, you know, what you would expect a softball team in the 70s to wear. So yeah, that's our Mirror Universe alternate.
Mirror Universe Day. When we're playing
the
sport.
When we go to the Mirror Universe, right?
Oh.
Yeah. But we need to grow, like, goatees for that one.
Yeah. Too much trouble.
No, I mean, but yeah, we've got, like, you know, we've got all of our, if you go to the Babel conference, you can see what each of our official jerseys are. Which, by the way, okay, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks, I don't know if you saw that, but the other day they announced their new uniforms, and they're like, we've got 6 uniforms. Here's 6. It's awesome. I love it.
So, yeah, you stickers, mugs, everything. Baby onesies, everything. If you go to www.trek.fm/store. We'd like to again thank Richard Rutledge Jr. and Renee Roberts for being our associate producers. By supporting us on Patreon, you can find Richard on Twitter at RUT8972 and Renee at MRS_1701. And if you want to help them keep the network in orbit, you can support us on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find a list of donation levels where you can get things like exclusive digital goodies, access to our Patreon zone, and early access to episodes, access to our project manager so that you can suggest topics, and be listed as an associate producer on some of our shows. You'll find out also where the donations can go, things like covering the monthly cost of hosting and distribution, hiring editors, upgrading people's equipment. So again, that's patreon.com/trekfm, so check it out. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
All right.
It's been an honor serving with you, sir.
And you too. Thanks for having me along on this journey, and Thanks for everyone who listened. And it will get better. We promise.
Don't mourn us.
What?
Don't mourn us.
Yeah, yeah. Things, the better things are coming. We promise.
Yeah. So, everybody, thanks again for listening. Have a good life and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landru.
Mr. Chekhov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor one.
Hi, sir.
Standard Orbit.
The next generation is beaming
aboard the podcast feeds.
All the wonder, the excitement, the drama of Gene Roddenberry's original space odyssey.
Welcome to the Enterprise.
With all new adventures.
From the 21st century.
With an all new Enterprise.
This is nothing like any vessel I've seen before.
And an all new crew. Their continuing mission to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Let's see what's out there.
Don't miss the all-new
podcast
Adventures of
Standard Orbit,
The Next Generation.